Good morning, church.
Good morning,
church. The Lord is good. And all the time. The Lord is good. And all the time. On behalf of my humble self and the Christians and members of our church, I welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. Greetings also to our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom and those who will be listening to our worship service afterwards from our website. After service, we are all invited to our church hall for teas and coffees. Just to mention that next week we are having a joint service at Womit, and there are intimations about that in the order of service and also on the church's website. So please try to get yourself familiar with the details. I think parking is a little bit of a problem, but that is being resolved. Looking forward to that service where we'll have CFK, Bamorino, Womit, and our church. It will be a service of Holy Communion. We learned last week of the passing on to glory of one-time elder of this congregation, Alan Bruce. The funeral arrangements are going on. Can I ask the congregation to stand for a moment of silence? And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." May the soul of Alan Bruce and all departed servants of the Lord rest in perfect peace. Amen. Please be seated. Let us worship God and our first hymn, "O Worship the King, All Glorious Above." 1, 2, 7.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy and living God, we gather before you today, aware that we are standing on holy ground. Like Moses before the burning bush, we come with a sense of wonder and reverence, marveling at your majesty and the mystery of your presence. You are the God who hears the cries of your people, who sees our struggles and knows our needs. You are not distant or unapproachable, but the one who calls us by name, who speaks into the depths of our being and invites us to draw near. We come seeking your voice, longing to hear your call and to know more of your heart. Lord, remind us that you are the same God who led your people out of bondage, who revealed yourself to Moses, and who promises to go with us wherever you call us. Stir our hearts this morning to see you more clearly, to hear you more fully, and to worship you with all that we are. Be glorified in our praise and make yourself known among us. Holy God, we are mindful of our frailty and sin. Like Moses, we often turn away when we feel inadequate, when your calling seems too great, or when we doubt your presence with us. We confess that we are quick to make excuses when you call us to act in courage, O faith. We hesitate to trust in your power to equip us for the tasks you set before us. We choose the comfort of the familiar over the challenge of obedience, and we shy away from stepping into the holy ground of your purposes for us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have not listened to your voice, when we have ignored the cries of the oppressed, and when we have resisted your call to serve others in love. Forgive us for doubting your presence, even when you promised to be with us always. Cleanse us, O Lord, from our sins. Renew our hearts to trust in your strength, not our own, and remind us that you are the God who equips and calls, not the God who calls the equipped. Help us to surrender our fears and excuses so that we might respond to your voice with faithful and willing hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray always, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I lift your name on high. Hymn number 558.
Okay. Well, you all ready? Come sit at the front. I'm so late. I've been sent out by the captain of the guard who protects the princess to look for the troublesome dragon that's been roaming the area. I felt it was important to build some shelter very quickly from the dreary and cold weather that's been happening lately. Have you seen that troublesome dragon ever anywhere? No? Oh, thank goodness for that. Whew. Well, that's good. I think they've moved on, hopefully. But another part of my job as a knight for the princess is to look for new recruits. Or squires. Are you going to be my new recruits today? Okay, yeah? Well, that's good. And during our quest in April, we're going to train together as squires and discover more about two very important kings. The only thing we know about these two very important kings is one was a shepherd who became a king. Do you want to show everybody? Okay. And that's all we know about him. And the other king is that he died on a cross, something like this, some time ago. Does anybody know a little more about either king? Yes, you do. Jesus, yeah? Cool. Anything else about that person called Jesus? Know anything else? Well, we'll find out more during a holiday club between the 14th and 18th of April 2025. So that is the Holy Week, isn't it? Yeah. With more information to follow very soon. And when I say very soon, next couple of weeks. And we can discover even more about these kings. I think one was called King Dom. No. Derek? No, that's not Derek either. Or was it David? Oh, I'm just not quite sure. I just can't remember that king's name. But I think the other one was called Jesus. That's right, you said Jesus, didn't you? Definitely, I think it was definitely Jesus. But I need to see if you guys are up to the task to become a knight. Do you think you can do that? Do you think you can become a knight? Yeah? Somewhat? Well, we got some training to do. We need to train our dexterity and our listening ears. I need three adult volunteers. Now, I'm dressed up as a Celt, so no excuses for you three adult volunteers to come out. Can I get three adult volunteers or young people to come out for me? Thanks, Diane. That's one. That's Graham. That's two. I'm going to pick someone at random if you don't come out. Thank you, Catherine. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to put the shield down. Right. Adult squires, it is you see three boxes there behind you. Okay. One of them contains a treasure. That's very, very loud. The others do not. Your task is for us not to hear the treasure. Does that make sense? So you have to work as a team to hide the noise. Does that make sense? Okay. I will be giving you tasks throughout to disguise the noise. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Yes, good. Okay. Young squires, our job is to listen for the treasure. Do you think you can do that? Okay. And you've got to try and work out who it is. Everyone else, you can listen as well. Okay. Can you three go pick up the boxes, please? Very carefully, together, would be helpful. Okay. Can you turn around 360 degrees, please? Okay. Any noises so far? Any ideas? Okay. Can you lift it above your head? Oh, okay. Okay, and can you put it back down on the ground? Oh, they're very good, aren't they? They're very. Do you want to go a little bit closer to maybe you can listen a little bit better? Sorry, it'd be all jingly and jangly, you know? Can you pick it back up and walk down the stairs, please? Oh, this could be it. Oh, who do you think might have it? Any idea so far? No? Well, so we make it a little bit easier. How about you jog on the spot for 5 seconds? Oh, come on, Kathy, you need to jog a little bit more than that. That's not really jogging. There you go. Okay, can you jump up and down? Can you jump up and down, please? Oh my goodness, okay. You think you know, okay, shall we go a little more? Can you walk in front of the children and walk up the aisle a little bit? And come back. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, and can you jump around the 360 for me? Okay. You guys have done really well. Any ideas? Yes. You think Graham? Hands up if you think Graham, everybody. No. Okay. Hands up if you think Catherine. Okay. Hands up if you think Catherine. Hands up if you think Diane. Oh, well, can you give your boxes a shake, please? One at a time. Oh, Diane? Catherine? Oh, well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. You can put the boxes down, that's fine. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. So, our theme for Holiday Club this year, if you haven't guessed already, is a medieval theme, which there's going to be knights and kings and princesses and queens and all this kind of stuff, and dragons. There's a dragon in there as well. And we're going to discover more about King David and King Jesus. And there's other things that we're going to be doing, like, I think somebody told me catapults. We're going to make a catapult. Mini catapult as well, but big catapult too. I think we're going to make a few other cool things as well, which are going to be really exciting. Lots of good crafts, lots of Bible discovery. And that's happening Monday, the 14th of April, to Friday, the 18th of April. Church, we are doing this year with partnership with SU Scotland. We're very grateful for them. It's a complete partnership with them. So we are looking for volunteers, obviously for group leaders, as well as group helpers and kitchen team members and all this kind of stuff. 10 a.m. to, we think in 12:15 or even 12:30 this time, okay? But it is in partnership with SU, so we're all volunteers would have to go through the SU volunteer organization. Which means that if you volunteer for Holiday Club, you don't need to do another volunteer application after that point if you want to help us with schoolwork, an SU group, or any events at the school as well, or any other SU event up and down the country. But we do need some leaders. If you want for more information, come speak to me, and I'll give you that information. Or if you need to help sign up, I will also give you that information. Yeah. Thank you. Are you excited? Because I am. Can you tell? Do you know the last time I wore this was my wedding day, right? So, yeah. So, I'm really excited. I think this is the best Holiday Club theme there's been for years because we get to use our imagination a wee bit, and I love using our imagination. And I'd like to see you guys dressed up as well as knights or kings and queens or princesses and all this kind of stuff. Awesome. I think we are now going to sing hymn number 531, My Jesus, My Savior.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, found on page 59 in the Pew Bibles, or you can read on the overhead. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Our New Testament reading is from John, the Apostle John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Found on page 1064 of the Pew Bible, and you can follow on the overhead. John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. May God bless these readings of his holy word. And now we can sing together hymn 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, open our hearts to the message of your word and strengthen us for discipleship and bless us with wisdom to navigate the challenges of our lives. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. Good morning again. And this morning, I want to reflect on the theme, Follow Me, Come and See. Allow me to illustrate a scenario regarding lost keys. Have you ever found yourself frantically searching through the house, pulling cushions off the sofa, rifling through drawers and retracing your steps for what feels like an eternity, only to find that your key cards were snugly resting in your pocket the whole time? It is a moment that makes you laugh at how oblivious we can be to what's right in front of us. Life can be a bit like that, can't it? We pour so much energy into searching for purpose, identity, and meaning, chasing answers in all the wrong places. We scour the world for something to fill the void, to make sense of the chaos. But here is the truth. Just like those keys in your pocket, the answer has been with you all along. Jesus Christ is right there, patient, ready, and steady and close. He has been waiting, not as some distant figure we have to chase after, but as someone who already knows us and is ready to call us by name. All it takes is to stop the frantic search and realize he has been with us the whole time. As we explore John 1, 43 to 51 today, we will see that the heart of discipleship is not about finding Jesus, but about being found by him. And once we are found, we are invited to follow him and invite others to come and see. There are at least three lessons we can learn from our text. The first is that discipleship begins with God finding us. The story in the New Testament begins with Jesus finding Philip and saying, "Follow me." Notice the order. Jesus seeks out Philip. It is not Philip who discovers Jesus after years of searching. It is Jesus who initiates the relationship. This is a powerful reminder that our faith is not about us chasing God, but about God choosing us. As Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. From Genesis, where God sought Adam and Eve in the garden, to this moment with Philip, the narrative of Scripture is of a God who seeks out his people. Imagine a shepherd scanning the hills, leaving behind 99 secure sheep to seek out the one that wandered astray. And this image from Luke 15:4 is not just an idyllic pastoral scene, but a vivid picture of Jesus' relentless pursuit of us. Friend, perhaps you have felt it in your own life. A moment when God's presence found you, not because you were searching for him, but because he sought you out. Maybe it was in a time of crisis when you felt the ground beneath you crumble, or in a moment of doubt when answers seemed elusive. Perhaps it was in an unexpected moment of joy that you knew could only have come from God. The humbling truth is this. Even our faith is not something we achieve by effort or striving. It is a gift from God, freely given to us because of his unfathomable grace. As John Stott once wrote, faith's only function is to receive what grace offers. God's pursuit of us reveals the depth of his love and the power of his grace. It is not our merit that draws him to us, but his desire to bring us into a relationship with him. When we grasp the reality that God has sought us intentionally, it transforms the way we see ourselves and our relationship with him. It fills us with gratitude because we realize we were chosen by the Creator of the universe. And it instills humility, for we understand that our worth is not in our accomplishments, but in the God who leaves the 99 to find us. Sadhu Sundar Singh was an Indian Christian missionary from the early 20th century. Born into a wealthy Sikh family in Punjab, Sundar was raised in a deeply religious environment, immersed in Sikh traditions and the teachings of Hinduism and Buddhism. Yet, as a young man, he became disillusioned and restless, searching for deeper meaning and purpose in life. In his teenage years, Sundar experienced intense spiritual turmoil. Desperate for answers, he explored various philosophies and religious texts, seeking truth. He even considered retreating to the Tibetan mountains to embrace a life of asceticism. But despite all his searching, he could not find peace. At the age of 15, on the brink of despair and contemplating suicide, Sundar cried out in desperation, "If there is a God, reveal yourself to me, or I will kill myself." In the early hours of the morning, he claimed to have had a vision of Jesus Christ, who appeared to him in radiant light, calling him by name. Sundar's life was transformed in that moment. He realized he had been searching for something that was already seeking him. The purpose, identity, and meaning he had longed for were fulfilled in Christ. Sundar's unexpected encounter changed the trajectory of his life. He became known as the apostle with the bleeding feet, traveling barefoot across India, Tibet, and beyond, sharing the message of Christ. Sundar's journey illustrates how God often calls people in unexpected ways, meeting them right where they are, even in their desperate or their deepest despair. His story echoes the truth found in John 15, 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." As Sadhu Sundar's sin's life demonstrates, Jesus is not far from us, even when we think we are lost or wandering. He is always near, ready to call us by name and lead us to the purpose he has prepared for us. But secondly, discipleship means sharing the good news. What does Philip do the moment Jesus calls him? He goes to Nathanael and says, "We have found the one Moses wrote about." Notice Philip's excitement. He can't keep the news to himself. Now, technically speaking, Philip's theology wasn't perfect. Jesus found him, not the other way around. But that did not stop him from sharing what he knew. And when Nathanael responded with skepticism, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip did not argue or debate. He simply said, "Come and see." Imagine recommending a fantastic new restaurant to a friend. You don't need to explain the chef's training or debate the merits of the menu. You just say, you have got to try this place for yourself. Sharing Jesus should feel that natural. And finally, discipleship brings us God's peace and blessing. When Nathanael meets Jesus, something extraordinary happens. Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. This phrase has deep symbolism in Scripture, often associated with peace and blessing. Jesus perceives Nathanael's heart and affirms him as an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He promises Nathanael that he will see greater things, heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus invites Nathanael into a deeper experience of God's presence and purpose. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when someone truly encounters Jesus, the transformation is nothing short of extraordinary. It is not merely a change in outward behavior or a shift in moral principles. It is a radical renewal of the heart, the mind, and the soul. In Christ, we are not just improved versions of ourselves. We are made entirely new. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this transformation begins with the peace that comes from knowing we are forgiven. The weight of guilt and shame is lifted because Christ has borne our sins on the cross. In a world where many carry the silent burden of past mistakes, the promise of forgiveness through Jesus is profoundly liberating. This peace is not a fleeting emotion. It is a deep assurance rooted in the finished work of Christ. As Augustine of Hippo once wrote, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Encountering Jesus allows our restless souls to finally find their home in him. But the transformation doesn't stop with peace. In Christ, we discover joy. Joy that comes from understanding our purpose. Before meeting Jesus, many live with a sense of aimlessness, unsure of their reason for being. But discipleship reframes our identity and mission. We learn that we are created to know God, to glorify him, and share his love with others. His divine purpose gives life meaning, infusing even the mundane with eternal significance. As N.T. Wright observes, you are not simply a passive spectator of God's purposes. You are a part of the story he is telling in the world. Finally, stepping into the discipleship means stepping into a life of deeper blessing. This does not necessarily mean material prosperity, as often misunderstood, but a richness of soul that no circumstance can diminish. We are blessed with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the marks of a life transformed by Jesus and evidence of his work within us. In encountering Jesus, the broken are made whole, the lost are found, and the purposeless are given meaning. It is a journey of becoming who we were always meant to be, children of God, redeemed and restored, living in peace and joy that can only come from him. As the Christian hymnologist wrote, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing. This is the essence of true transformation, and it is the hope we carry into a world longing for renewal. But there is a final word to today's reflection. God seeks us to send us. As we come to the close of this reflection, let us take a moment to stand in the sandals of Moses before the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Here we find a man who thought his story was over. Humbled by years of shepherding in the wilderness, distant from the grandeur of his Egyptian upbringing. But it was there, in the quiet obscurity of the desert, that God sought him out. God did not wait for Moses to find him. He came to Moses in the flames of a bush that burned but was not consumed. And why? Because God had a purpose for him, just as he does for each of us. The first question we must ask ourselves and try to answer is this: how does knowing that God sought you out change the way you view your relationships with him? This truth should humble and empower us. You did not stumble upon God like someone finding a rare treasure by chance. He sought you intentionally. Like Moses, you were chosen for a reason, even if you feel inadequate or unsure. This is the grace of discipleship. It starts with God's call, not our worthiness. But God doesn't stop with finding us. He calls us to action. He tells Moses, "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So now, go. I am sending you." Notice this. The God who seeks us also sends us. He doesn't call us just to sit in awe of his holiness, but to step forward and carry out his purposes. Knowing that God sought us should fill us with gratitude, but it should also stir us into action. And that brings us to the second question: who in your life needs to hear the simple invitation, "Come and see"? Philip's response in John 1 when he found Nathanael is a perfect example of the Christian mission. He didn't have all the theological answers or wait until he was perfectly equipped. He simply invited his friend to meet Jesus. Who in your life is waiting for that same invitation? Who in your family, workplace, our community needs someone to say, "Come and see what Jesus has done in my life"? Moses tried to protest. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" But God's reply was simple: "I will be with you." The power of discipleship is not found in our abilities, but in God's presence. When we step out in faith to share the gospel, to invite others to Christ, or to live as his disciples in challenging circumstances, we go with the assurance that he is with us. So today, let us embrace the calling of discipleship. Let us remember that we have been sought out by God of the burning bush, the God who calls us by name and equips us for his purposes. And let us take up the challenge to go and invite others to come and see. To come and see this God who can transform lives and redeem the broken. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your grace that you sought us out even when we were lost and when we were unworthy. Like Moses before the burning bush, we feel the weight of our inadequacy, but we thank you that your presence goes with us. Stir our hearts today, Lord, to answer your call and to share the simple yet life-changing invitation, "Come and see." May we be faithful disciples who proclaim your goodness with boldness and compassion. Empower us to live lives that reflect your glory and draw others close to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is 532, Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore. Let us pray, let us dedicate the offering, and let us intercede. Gracious God, we bring before You these gifts, a humble offering from all that You have given us. Like Moses before the burning bush, we stand in awe of Your holiness, knowing that every good thing comes from Your hand. Take these offerings, Lord, and use them for Your glory. May they bless the work of Your church, bring hope to the weary, and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have yet to hear it. Loving Father, we come before You with hearts full of gratitude, but also with the burdens of the world weighing upon us. You are the God who hears the cries of Your people, who seeks us out in the wilderness of our lives, and who promises to go with us, confident in your compassion, we lift our prayers to you. We pray for our world, Lord, so often marked by conflict, injustice, and suffering. Where leaders hold power, grant wisdom and humility. May they govern with justice and seek the common good, remembering the sacred trust they hold to serve those they lead. We pray again, O Father, for the wars in Ukraine and in the Middle East. And we thank you for the peace deal that has now been struck between Israel and Palestine. We pray, O God, that the discussions and the implementation process will be swift and that healing will come again to that land and region. We pray also for the war in Ukraine, that world leaders will continue to have discussions on how to bring this to an end. Dear God, we bring before you those who are sick, bewildered, or lost. For those battling illness in body or mind, we pray for healing. For those who feel adrift in doubt or despair, we ask for clarity of your light. May they encounter the peace of your presence, knowing that you are the God who restores and redeems. We remember the bereaved, those whose hearts are heavy with the loss of loved ones. Comfort them, Lord, as only you can. May they feel the warmth of your embrace and the hope of the resurrection, that promise of eternal life where all tears will be wiped away. And we give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith, the saints now resting in glory with you. Their lives remind us of the hope we have in Christ and the joy of eternal home awaiting us. Help us to follow their example of faith and perseverance, trusting in the one who sought us and calls us still. Finally, Lord, we pray for your church here and around the world. Strengthen us to be a light in dark places and a voice of hope to the hopeless. Stir our hearts to boldly invite others to come and see the wonder of your grace. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing Onward Christian Soldiers Marching Us to War, 514. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.